But I've seen so many of those dreams come true. But they're still there if they're dreams, if they're aspirations, the things you want to see accomplished in the Lord or in your life. And tonight we're going to be talking about, of course, with Caleb, I want that mountain. And even 40 years later, 45 years later, I still want that mountain. And I believe that was the heart of this good man. Joshua chapter 14. I am getting pretty nigh to 40 years myself in the ministry, and I desire the same really as Caleb. If I'm going to live, if I'm going to be on this earth, I want to make a go of it. I want to get something good accomplished. I want to see success in the Lord's work. I want to see success in my personal life. I want to do good, and I want the Lord to be honored in it all. Now, we know that originally the 12 spies of Israel were sent in under Moses, and only two came back with the voice of support for moving forward at the command of God. 10 did not, and those 10, of course, they so discouraged the folks of Israel, so much so they trembled in their boots, and they thought again about it, and they just backed up. A large portion of why they trembled at the giants in the land, we know that they did, but Caleb's thoughts were, we're bigger than they are because our God is bigger than they are. And if our God's bigger than they are, then we are bigger than they are. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now the text in Joshua 14 has now been 40 plus years in the wilderness, and conquest is well underway, and time has come to parceling out the land. And Joshua chapter 14, we'll see the inheritance. And verse 1, and these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of Israel, tribes of the children of Israel, distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. Now, this is not the inheritance on the east side of Jordan. This is only the inheritance on the west side. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side of Jordan, on the east side. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore he gave no part unto the Levites of the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. That's good. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Zephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old, now he's going back into the history, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And I would say also H-O-L-L-Y. He sanctifiedly, he followed the Lord. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. So Moses is declaring this. And thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. So back to Caleb testifying, the Lord's kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. How old is that? 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Now, he's talking about the same area, same mountain, Horeb. All right, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Now, it's not only drive them out, but it's as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, we talk about things that have limitations, you know, criminal cases and things like that have processes, issues of limitations. But there was no limitation of time in Caleb's mind concerning the promise that had been given him by the servant of God, by Moses. And now he's reminding Joshua, the son in the faith of Moses, he's reminding him of all that had transpired 40 years ago, which he was a part of, but just in case you have forgotten, Bubba, he's reminding him after all of those years the promise that was made. Caleb, as you know, was originally one of the 12 tribes that went in and to spy out the land, but his was not only a section of the land, his was what you would call would be the hot spot of the land, the dreaded Anakims, the, if you would like, the Vikings of that day. That's what it would have been like. I mean, the worst of the worst guys, that's them. But that's the same area that Caleb came back and said, we can take them. All right, we can take them. So Caleb, you know, as he looked at that and oversaw all of that and came back and gave a report, what they all saw in the land struck fear in the heart of his comrades, in the heart of his companions, the other spies, all except Joshua. But for him, it struck faith. In other words, found something of substance there. Found something that was credible there. Found something that you can build on in life. Found something that is worthy unto God. And it was that faith that was burning in his heart. At God's word, we can do this. At God's word, we can do this. And the work of God has been dependent upon that for all these many, many long years. If God says we can do it, we can do it. But it requires God's people to have faith like Caleb and like Joshua. Now, this above all others was the place which Caleb, trusting in the strength of God, was trusting for his inheritance. Again, they had earlier sent in the 12 spies as a nation, and they went in. That was to be the promised land, and they were going in, and the 12 spies represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, Caleb represented the tribe of Judah. All right, the tribe of Judah, and he was 40 years old at the time that they went in originally to spy out the land. He came back and gave a report. Now, 40 years old is not an old man, but he's not a young guy either. So you can't just say, okay, his zeal was eating him up and he didn't know what he was getting into. He was just a young fool. You couldn't make that case with either Joshua or with Caleb. They were grown men already. They were grown men. And they said, we are well able to do what God has told us to do. So they sent in all the 12 spies. They split up the cover of the land. And then after 40 days, they came back and they gave their report. All of the men that were sent out, agreed that the land was flowing with milk and honey. It was as God had promised, and it was going to be good. All they had to do is obey God and go in and take it. That's what they had to do. But 10 of the 12 spies were fearful, and they gave a negative report, and it scared the bejeebers out of everybody. But Caleb and Joshua said, in essence, well, don't pay attention to those 10 guys, pay attention to God. And that's been all the difference in the world for God's people ever since. Don't pay attention to those people, pay attention to God. So the question tonight could be, who are you paying attention to? To all the clamoring people of this earth? Are you paying attention to God Almighty? I would strongly suggest to you that we pay attention to God. Pay attention to God. Now, the people were weak, they faltered, and they failed God. Not only did they fail God, they failed one another. They failed the grandpas, the grandmothers, the daddies, the mommies, the teenagers, and the children of all of the land. Because when they said, no, we can't, it affected not only their life, but it affected all of their children and their children's children. We don't live our lives to ourselves. Our lives have a direct influence on others. Before they left for Michigan, Brother Gabe, Miss Cindy, they wanted to come over to the house, and she brought chili over to the house and sweet tea, Brother Colin, sweet tea. And they wanted to stay and wanted to watch It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. And I said, well, let me pray about that, okay. And they've never seen it. Never seen it. Never saw Miracle on 34th Street. So how can you live and not see these things? You know, you just got to see these things. So I said, I'll try not to give you a narrative going through the whole thing, but you need to pay attention to this thing. You need to pay attention to that. But so because of their disobedience to God's word, excuse me, God says, take another lap around Mount Sinai. So for 40 years, they were to wander in the wilderness when they could have been in the promised land. Could have been. That always reminds me of the barrel racers, you know, the cowboys. The girls, the cowgirls, they ride in the barrels, you know, at the rodeo. And if they knock over a barrel, they get penalized by time. And, you know, the announcer would come over, the big speaker, and says, could have been, or would have been. In other words, it would have been this time, but now, unfortunately, it's this time. So it could have been. 40 years earlier, they took the promised land as promised by God. But no, they didn't do it. All of the people who refused to trust in the Lord perished in the wilderness. Every man jack of them, they perished in the wilderness. And because of the size of this group of people, they had to bury somewhere around 75 people per day. Now, 40 plus years later, Caleb and Joshua are the only men left of the group that said we can go in. They're the only group left of all the men of age. Now, 85 years old. Brother John, how old are you? 84. Caleb's 85 years old. And they are brought back again to the border of the promised land and now under the leadership of Joshua, the servant of the Lord, and of Moses. And they entered into the promised land. Now, three things I want to point out to you as we close out this year that to me stand out in Caleb's life. And boy, I want to be like him. The first, of course, is faith. He had a strong faith. Now, not the faith of a young man full of zeal. I'm talking about a seasoned man that knows exactly what he's doing and how to get the job done. And he has a burning faith in his heart. Someone said, faith is simply believing God's word and acting upon that word. And I think that's a good description of faith. It's simple, but I think it's profound. Faith is simply believing God's word and acting upon that word. We hear, how shall we be saved? We find out, believe upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. It's just taking God at His word, trusting God to be saved. Do what He says to be saved. In James, of course, chapter 2, verse 14, what doth the prophet, my brethren, do a man say, he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? It's words, just words. Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, it's not just works, it's the faith and then the works of faith. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? So two things here that jump out that is vitally important that you get your doctrine right. Is verse 22, seest thou how? And then verse 24, ye see then how? In other words, James is going to connect the dots of how faith and works biblically work together. All right, so we go back. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That was without works. Just he believed. And there's where salvation occurs. But salvation doesn't end with the new birth. That's just the beginning of being born. See, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. A man... Basically, James is teaching the practical training of Christianity to the Jews, that they would get it. So we see his faith. Number two, we see faithfulness. He's now 85 years old. And since earlier years, and well before age 40, he's walking with the Lord. He's obeying God. He's one of the faithful. He's one of the God-fearers. And he is still a faithful man. He was faithful. He had been faithful. And he is still faithful. Now that's what I want. That's the type of testimony I want for the Lord. He was faithful when he started, and he was faithful when he ended. That's what I want. I want to live well, and I want to die well. I do. I want to be faithful to the end. Paul writes, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Faithfulness is one of the key ingredients for God to use anybody. God can use a faithful man more than he can use a talented man. Faithful man. Matthew 25, 21, "The Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." So 40 years plus, Caleb has voted yes with his life and his lips. Yes, yes, yes. Should we have gone? Yes. Should we have gone? Yes. Grandpappy, should we have gone? Yes. Mister, should we have gone? Yes. Yes, yes. He had voted yes all those years with his life. Another way of saying he's looking for a way in, not a way out. Sounds just like it, doesn't it? Not only 1 year, but 40 years. Now, great faithfulness is hard to find. It's really hard to find. You have the few and, you know, the proud of the Marines kind of thing, but it's really a fine quality, but it's not a quality that's easy to maintain throughout the years. There's always going to be something that could interrupt that faithfulness. In other words, you're going to run into hard times. You're going to run into some rivers, some some brick walls in your life. You're going to have obstacles in life. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to have maybe children pass or grandchildren pass. You're going to have hardship. You're going to have sorrow. And next thing you know, you're blaming God falsely, but you're still blaming God, and out you go. And you're not walking with God anymore. Been out of church for years. It happens all the time. Now, I was kind of picking on Brother Tom Houston. You know, because I came back and he first saw the beard. He says, "I like it. I like it. I think it looks good on you. I think it looks good on you." I said, "Really? You're not just saying that?" No, I like it. And I, you know, picking on him, having a good relationship and all with him. And then he said, "I think you ought to keep it. I think you ought to keep it." And I said, "I don't know. I'm still not convinced. I'm still not convinced. I think you ought to keep it." And I'm like, "Okay, one for down for Brother Tom. You know, he votes yes." And then here comes the espresso machine, you know, the coffee machine. I said, "Oh, brother." You know, he got into that preacher mode. "Oh, brother, 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 brother. Two marks, a beard, first now, coffee machine, liberal to be sure." Liberal to be sure, you know. He just let me have it, Brother John, right between the eyes, you know. But of course, he's playing, and we have a wonderful relationship with that. But I think about Brother Tom and Brother John Chastain, which I believe, unless I'm mistaken, are the two eldest men in our church. Am I wrong? Well, he's uglier than you are, that's for sure. You know, you're much better looking. Of course, you pay attention to it. I saw you the other day and you walked in the door. You turned just to make sure your beard was just right before you walked on in. Jerry's uglier. We all know that. We all know that. But I was thinking about Brother John gave his testimony the other day when he preached. And you know the testimony of Tom Houston. You know, these men have been faithful all their lives after they got saved. I talked about John Adkins a few weeks ago. John kind of ripped his britches when he was young, and man, he knows it, and he testified about it, just not to do. And how he said, "I chased the world, all the tinsel and glimmer of the world, and got nothing but heartache and sorrow." He got on his knees in that little bitty room that the boss let him stay in with a cot, sleeping on a cot and working during the day out in the shop and sleep the night in that cot. And he got a hold of God in that little bitty closet room. That was not even a room, it was a closet. Sleeping on that cot. And God got a hold of him, and he said, "Never again never again. And from that day forward, he lived a strong life of faithfulness. Strong life of faithfulness. Great member, faithful, just faithful all day long. Matter of fact, I don't think John would be upset if I share with you, and they didn't say it to him, said it to me. His first wife, who was a Christian, was at, and I think that was at Darla's funeral, I believe it was. Yeah, Darla's funeral. She was here in honor of John and the kids and everything. And she said to me after that service, she said, "No, if John would have been the man he has become, we would have been married all these years." Now that's a strong testimony now. Coming from a Christian woman, but dealing with the road as it has its bumps, you know. But was a testimony to John's faithfulness and what John had become in his life. And I look at these type of men, Brother Houston, Brother John Chastain, John Adkins, now with the Lord, and how faithful they have been after their salvation through the many years. And it's just an amazing testimony to walk with God, faithful all those years, always just faithful, day in, day out, week in, week out, on and on and on it goes after salvation. And true men of God, and this is what the testimony really was of Caleb. He was still faithful after all those years. He's not a young man anymore. It's not easy for him to serve. Now, he says he has the same strength. I take him at his word. I guess he did. Most men don't. But he still said he did. Still faithful to the Lord. Faithful to the work and work of God. And I pointed out, Brother Houston, last 2 weeks, you know, he's a good ways away from the church now. And he's driving up here just to be here. He told me just a few weeks ago, says, "Brother, you know, there's no new heights down yonder." That's what he said to me. That's what he said. He said, there's no new, in other words, there's no New Heights Baptist Church down there. And you could tell where his vote was. But it's just his age and, you know, the physical limitations that's placed on any man and every man. It's there. Well, Galatians 6:3 says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth in his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You could write Caleb's name right there. You could write his name right there. He was about to reap because he didn't faint. He didn't faint. Not the first year. First decade, second decade, third decade, fourth decade, and more. He's still plugging away. Now, some people think that, well, he just, you know, he didn't have a fearful bone in his body. I don't know that we can say that. I really don't know we can say that. He was a human being. If you see a big guy, you know, and he's your enemy, it just has a tendency to worry you a little bit, you know. I mean, can I take him or not? You know, it's crossed my mind a few times along my journey. You know, you see a big old fella and say, "Man, he's going to kill me." Yeah, I told you before about the football player that I bit, and you know, through his uniform, and he was a monster. I mean, he was lifting men's weights and you know, not teenagers' weights. I mean, grown men weights. And you know, I thought when I'm going to go to high school with this, he's going to kill me, sure. He's going to kill me, sure. They're going to, might as well go ahead and make my grave marker. I'm a dead man. How old was I? 15. I was going to be a dead man. Well, you know he's going to hurt you. He hurt me on the football field. I knew what he was capable of doing, and that's just half wanting to hurt you. What's he going to be able to do when he really wants to hurt you? Well, I just thought, well, I'm a dead man. I might as well plan my funeral. I think about a man like Caleb, and I think about a man how he would face the fears in his life. Face fears. I think it was it John Wayne? I think it was John Wayne said, you know, it's not the absence of fear, but it's in the face of fear, still saddling up and getting in the saddle and going anyway. And that's it. You know, oftentimes that's it. You say one of those Nehemiah short prayers and off you go. And you say, aren't you scared to do this? Maybe a little bit, but here we go. You know, we're going to have to do this. Well, just this day, with Brother Colin, I read this psalm to Miss Betty. She's in a bad way, poor soul, but she responded. She knew who we were and responded. She couldn't talk, but she would make little sounds. And, you know, she knew it was us and knew we were there. And when I was touching her, she reached up her hand and touched my hand and then started caressing my arm, just saying, I know it's you. I know it's you, preacher. And that's what she calls me, preacher. I know it's you. I know it's you. And I love you. And I love you. And we loved on her right back. We loved on her right back. And hugged her and kissed her forehead. And just loved on her. Just let her know that her God loves her. And her preacher loves her. Her family loves her. And she's blessed to have a boy like Andy. And just, you know, facing the fears that we have in life. This is what I read to her. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. Like that passing. In the secret of the tabernacle, His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now, you think about it. Caleb saw the same stature of the giants in the land. He saw all of that. He saw the dread that it bred out and bore out into the hearts of others. He just chose faith over fear. He chose to live by faith and chose not to live by fear. In other words, he saddled up anyway. We can do it. We can take them at God's word. It's what Isaiah said in 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. The right hand, the covenant, the strong arm of God. I will not fail you. I will not fail you. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Because of that. Because of what? God is our refuge and strength, our help in times of trouble. So we will not fear. Now, this is the truth for him as well as us. Goes on and says, therefore we will not fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Talking about great natural disasters. The people just scream. And he says, we will not fear. God is in this and God will maintain His cause with His children. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, floods, mountains shake with the swelling thereof. God is still there. When our boots, you know, don't seem big enough for the shaking that's going on inside of them, God is still there. So what are we called to do? Well, I think it's fitting we go to Philippians 3:13-15. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. So 2025 didn't get her done. See that? But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, in just a few short hours, 2025, is no more. It's in the past. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Tomorrow is a brand new day with no mistakes in it. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What shall we do? God, know this, God rewards faith. God rewards faithfulness. And God rewards us facing our fears. Facing our fears. Brother Steve, he's a good soul, man. He's a good soul. Hall, Steve Hall. He wanted me to know after that message Sunday night. He said, I just want you to know, just as tender, you know, big old man, I just want you to know, I harbored no ill feelings towards you about that, you not listening to me, me being afraid of water. And, you know, he still squashed me like a bug. But I harbor nothing, you know, against you and any of that. But what's the truth of the matter? Well, he was horrified of water. Scared to death. Now, not everything makes sense to me. Not everything made sense to Solomon. He's a lot wiser than I am. And I think, how can a big man that's much taller than the depth of the water be scared of the water? Just stand up. You know, it reminds me of Janet years ago down in the Guadalupe River. We were going down through there and we were riding the inner tubes, you know, go down and ride those inner tubes down through there. And, you know, she had difficulty swimming or couldn't swim or just whatever. And all of a sudden we hit some little white water on the inner tubes. And she was just back behind us, maybe 40 yards, but, you know, back behind us. It's kind of hard to go back upstream. And she flipped out of that inner tube, just flipped out of that thing. And so she went down and she went down, you know, how can I say? She went down and her feet straight up. She's in the inner tube already, you know. She's got her bottom in the inner tube. And she just goes down and she's in the water. And she's just frailing her hands up like this, like, I'm drowning, I'm drowning, I'm drowning, I'm dying, I'm dying. Come to get me, Elizabeth, you know, all this kind of stuff. Clifton, bless his heart, right over here. He was with us on that trip. He bailed out. He was up there. He bailed out and he started running back, you know, trying to go help her. And about that time, I said, about that time, I said, about that time, she stood up. The water wasn't this deep. It wasn't that deep. Now, was her fear serious? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was serious. And I've seen that fear before on her face. And it had also to do with water. We were up in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. We had taken the youth group up there. We'd gone to see the Passion Play and went out and going to go out to a lake and just play around in the water. Beautiful lake, Table Rock Lake up there. Beautiful rock bottom lake. We found a place that I heard about that you could go and jump off, dive off the cliffs and dive into the water. And we get there, and we get up on the top, and it's high now. It's every bit as high as this ceiling. And up there, we got up there on the top, and it had, right there by the trail, no diving. But we thought that was for everybody else, not necessarily for us. And so you had to jump off of that, but you also had to clear a shelf of rocks down here. So you had to, you know, your trajectory, you had to clear. Not only that rock, you had to clear the rocks down below. Youth director shouldn't do this. I'd be mad if one of them did it, but I did it, unfortunately. I led in it. And so we were up there on the top, and we were just kind of dropping rocks off the top to see where they land, you know. Okay, we think I could do at least that momentum, just throw a little rock off of there, and bloop, man, that's at least 10 feet away from the shelf, because you'd certainly die if you just hit those rocks down below. It'd be bad, bad news. At the time, Craig Dunning, a friend of mine, was with me. He was eventually ended up Israel, and I run the mission department up there in Springfield. And I said, Craig, you have insurance, life insurance, you go first. Because I'd have insurance, you go first, you know. And he said, well, and so finally he bailed off, you know, and we ended up jumping. But if you jumped, if you didn't bring your arms in, you got spanked big time. Matter of fact, I've got the most hilarious story that I can tell with some people, but I can't tell now. That same evening. But I'm up there and Janet says, I want to go. And I'm like, oh, that clumsy girl, she's going to kill us all, you know. I said, okay, now you don't go until I'm out in the water and I'm treading water. And then I tell you, you can jump, then you jump. Now I'm out there treading water. I'm ready. No, I'm not ready. Are you ready? I'm not ready. She's back and forth, you know, scared to death. She finally gets up her nerve. Get in the saddle, hit spur, and let's go, you know. Well, she cut loose. And as soon as she cut loose, that same look in her eyes that she had in that river, she had coming down. And yes, sir, I was telling a story about Miss McCurley's grandson the other day. And I had him up here in the baptistry, and we were still working out the kinks from the heater, you know, and it was hot. I mean, it was hot. And he got in the tub with me, you know, at baptistry up here. And he said, before we even getting started, you know, and he said, don't put my head under the water. Well, son, this is a Baptist church. We believe in immersion. You got to go. I didn't know what else to say. Yeah, I can't think of anything really spiritual. I just said, you're going down. I mean, he's quite a bit weaker than I am. I could take him without any questions. I just knew he's going to go down. Brother Steve, that was another matter. I had to get on top of him, come nigh him, you know. But bless her heart, Janet, she left that ledge, and I mean, she was just screaming and clawing like, you know, the coyote or something, or Bugs Bunny or something, you know, one of those things. Just clawing the air. And she hit right in front of me in the water, landed right in front of me. And that's where she was supposed to land. But I don't think she was very much of a good shot. She just happened to end up landing there. But she had that same fearful look on her face. Now, not only when she immediately left, but all the way down. It was so far of a jump, you could get your air twice. Once when you jumped, and again before you hit the water. And if you think it would require no faith and facing fears, I'll take you to Eureka Springs. I think I could find that same spot. Probably still has the same sign up there, no diving. And I'll stop you from sucking eggs. But she left that, but she had the same look up there when she left. She had the same look halfway down. She had the same look when she hit the water. What did I do? She's dead for sure. You know, I mean, what do you do? I'm out there treading water, so, you know, you do one of those, you know, kick yourself under the water, get down. And you know what? 6 foot down, she still had the same look on her face. You know, and she was clawing. Then she realized I was right there. Now that was a danger to us both. She climbed on me like a raccoon on a hound dog. She climbed on me and she just higher and higher. Well, you keep going higher and higher and I'll keep going lower and lower. And I finally tell her and I said, don't push me under. Don't push me under. You know, and had a hold of her and took her back to the land. She didn't jump again. That was the end of it. But she did jump. But she faced her fears. She did. I'd rather be known as one that had a funny look of fear on their faith, but still jumped. Miss D. Bolt's done something that I want to do before I die, and hopefully God will let it take place, is jumping out of an airplane. I want to jump out. Now, I don't want to just jump out alone because I probably would never do it. You know? But if somebody pushed me, I think I can get the job done. And so you can go, and unless you take all these classes, you have to go tandem. You have to jump with a professional. Brother Bob there is a professional skydiver. And, you know, they sent you all up to the experienced diver, and then they get you out at the edge of the airplane. They said, now, on the count of three, we're going to go 1, 2. And out you go, you know. I'd scream the first 100 yards. But the last of it, I'd be happy, happy, happy. You know, I'd rather be known like that and be known that he may have screamed, sounded like a girl, you know, sort of like that Home Alone, you know, where they put the spider on the man's face and he screams just, you know, like crazy, just like a little girl. I'd rather be known that, yeah, he screamed like a girl every once in a while, but he still jumped. He still jumped. So 2026 is ahead of us. Why don't you come jump with me? We'll have some fun and take some mountains together. I'm game. What about you? God's given me a new lease on life. And I'd like to use it for His honor, for His glory. And I'd like good company. Let's stand for prayer.